and welcome to the Tuesday, February 28th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. We have three bills. They are posted only for work sessions, and we're going to start by opening a work session on House Bill 4170A. And we heard this bill at our last hearing and then carried it over. Erin, I think, has put in front of us a staff measure summary. Did you want to just briefly review what the bill does?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The House Bill 4170A permits up to 6 training classes per day of up to 10 dogs per class and testing of up to 60 dogs up to 4 times per year, regardless of breed, as a conditional permitted use on land owned exclusively for farm use, removes separate provisions specific to raising greyhounds from definition of farm use, and excludes commercial boarding kennels. We have a dash A2 and a dash A3 amendment before you. The dash A2 amendment permits field trials for herding and hunting dogs as another conditional permitted use on exclusive farm use land without limitation. It permits dog training classes or testing trials be conducted outdoors or in pre-existing farm buildings. And then you have the dash A3 amendment, which permits dog training classes or testing trials to be conducted outdoors or in pre-existing farm buildings in areas zoned for exclusive farm use only. We did receive the paperwork on both these amendments right before the hearing began, so I wasn't able to upload it into your materials before the meeting. They are both a minimal revenue impact on the dash A2 and a minimal fiscal impact on the dash A2, and same for the dash A3 amendment. This measure was heard for a public hearing yesterday.
Yes, Senator Beyer.
So are they cumulative or are they mutually exclusive? I'm trying to figure out the difference between the twos and the threes.
Senator, these came from Senator Ferrioli.
They did, and I can help, Madam Chair.
Okay.
The dash A3 amendments, I believe, were needed to clarify the fact that pre-existing farm buildings could be used as a venue for testing and training. And that was apparently a concern that the proponents of the bill had after we had the hearing yesterday. So as a courtesy to them, the amendment was drafted. And Madam Chair, I would support the amendment if the proponents believe that they need it. And the issue was whether or not Clackamas County needed to have a clarification that pre-existing farm buildings could also be used for training. There was some doubt about that expressed by the proponents yesterday. Madam Chairman, if
Senator
I could proceed.
The
dash 4170A2s speak to the issue of why we're here at all, which is the utter failure of the planners to understand that dogs and farm properties go together. And the thing that we would be doing for the folks who are the proponents of dog training for agility and other outdoor activities and indoor activities for training dogs and using dogs, I simply wanted to make sure that by including the agility sports, we're not excluding training for herding and hunting, which is different than actually herding or hunting, because in training for herding and hunting, that is an activity, and having the field trials, that's an event. So I wanted to make sure that we were also protecting the events, which are shoot-to-retrieve field trials and herding field trials. So basically, this is the perfect version of the urban-rural. What folks like to do on farm property with agility training, other folks like to do on farm property with hunting dogs and herding dogs. And if the land use system wasn't completely broken, planners would never even bring this issue up. These are issues that should be outright permitted uses on farmland. So that is the purpose of the A2 and the A3 amendments. I offer them both, Madam Chair. If the proponents believe they need a clarification about the Clackamas County's concern that no new buildings be built for dog training, which is exactly what A2 speaks to. It says that existing buildings could be used for training and for testing purposes. That should alleviate the what I think are the outrageous interventions of the planners into what ought to be a naturally occurring activity on farm ground. So the A2s are offered A3s are offered just to help the proponents in case they have that concern. The A2s are meant to help hunting and herding dog trainers and those that like to attend and participate in field trials.
Senator Farrelly, thank you. I don't think the proponents asked for any amendments on this bill, and we didn't have much time since we just saw them pretty middle of the day today. I know that we got some feedback that the A3 amendments were a helpful clarification and then a little bit less enthusiasm about the A2s.
Madam Chairman, let me correct that record. The proponents accompanied a representative from the Farm Bureau who was working as a volunteer to help them draft the A2s and the A3s. I drafted the A2s.
Oh, I see. So the proponents worked on the A3s.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Okay. Senator Byer, did you have a question?
Well, so if we adopted the A2s, that incorporates the A3s, it seems like. And I think I understand what Senator Farrelly is talking about, the trying to be make sure by omission we don't exclude something that's seems to be allowed now, which is sort of the fix we're in now is in 1995, the legislature specifically said that you could train greyhounds, and the courts interpret that as saying you couldn't train anything else, any other dog. That's why had we not done that in 95, you could do all of this. You could have been able to do all of this stuff under existing law.
Madam Chairman, I think that's correct. The problem we have is that whenever we enumerate, we exclude.
That's right.
And Madam Chairman, just so that I don't make a complete mess of this, it appears that the A3 amendments were the ones that dealt with the indoor-outdoor issue. The A2 amendments included field trials for herding and hunting dogs. And it also did the indoor-outdoor issue. The A2s would be more inclusive. The A3s would exclude hunting and herding, training and trials.
Well, I think it would be more accurate to say the A3s don't address hunting and herding trials. So.
But we may have a greyhound problem.
So I think that we will not be ready to move this quite at the beginning of this hearing, and I think we'll probably move it by the end of the hearing, and I apologize to people who came to see this happen, but I think we'll close the work session for now on House Bill 4170, and we will come back to it at the end of our hearing. And I'll open a work session on House Bill 4045A, and Erin, could you please tell us what this bill is?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4045A prohibits public body from disclosing information that identifies person as current or former applicant of concealed firearm permit unless disclosure is made to another public body and is necessary for criminal justice purposes. Court enters order in criminal or civil case directing public body to disclose. Applicant in writing consents to disclosure. It exempts the Oregon Judicial Department. It allows the state police or any other public body to permit to adopt rules relating to disclosure of information concerning concealed handgun permits prior to bill's operative date of July 1, 2012, prohibits disclosure, becomes operative January 1st, 2013. Ability of OSP or other public body to adopt rules becomes operative upon passage. You do have a -A33 amendment. The amendment, it does technically replace the measure, but it includes all the aforementioned disclosure, court entered, and applicant in writing, but then it also permits disclosure if limited to confirming, permits disclosure of specific information, name, age, county, and residence of holder or applicant of concealed handgun license if public body determines there's a compelling interest, permits disclosure if one, limited to confirming or denying person is convicted of a person crime or restrained by a protective order, made to victim of person crime or is protected by the order about the person convicted of the crime or named in an order requires victim to provide public body with written proof, limited to confirming or denying that person convicted of crime involving use of possession of firearm is made to a bona fide member of the news media who provides name and age of person convicted of crime involving use of possession of firearm, requires news media representative to provide public body written proof that they are a bona fide member of the media. A disclosure is made by State Department of Police and resulting from access to the LED system or other similar databases that department provides to other public bodies. Requires Attorney General to adopt rules that describe procedures for submitting written requests and materials that must be provided to establish compelling public interest. Again, exempts the Oregon Judicial Department. It defines convicted, person crime, protective order, and victim. The prohibitions and specified disclosures apply to public records requests made before effective date of act if public body has not responded to request as of effective date on or after effective date. As of January 1, 2013, repeals ability of disclosure from the Department of State Police that's resulted from access to LEDs or other similar databases. There is a no fiscal and a no revenue statement on the dash A33 amendment.
Okay, thank you very much for that explanation. And we do have, it looks like, several legislators in the audience. And my understanding is they were here if there are any questions on this version of the bill, which replaces the bill in the dash 33s. And I think Legislative Council is here, too, if we have questions on what these amendments do. So, members, are there any questions?
Madam Chairman, Senator, this is your opportunity to ask the proponents if they want to have the bill or to testify.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Burdick.
I have quite a few questions, but I can hold those till the floor debate if it's the will of the chair.
Sure, I think that would be great because it is late in the day and we'll have an opportunity.
Thank you.
Okay. So, and there's no one who feels a burning need to testify, it looks like. And I apologize if there are members of the public who came here to talk about this bill, but we just are late in the session and don't have an opportunity to take public testimony. And if we started to take testimony from one person, we would have to take it from everyone. So it's not possible to do that today. But we certainly have written testimony from lots of people, and that has all been entered in the record. Okay, so we are in a work session.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Farriola.
I move to adopt the dash 83, or excuse me. It only seems like there's been 83 versions of this. I move to adopt the dash A33 amendments to House Bill 4045A.
Senator Farrioli has moved the dash A33 amendment to House Bill 4045. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment is adopted. Senator Farrioli?
Madam Chairman, I move that House Bill 4045A is amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Farrioli has moved House Bill 4045A to the floor as amended with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair,
yes, Senator
I'll be opposing this motion. I do appreciate the efforts that the proponents made to improve the bill that was passed by the House, but I will continue to oppose it.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. Any further discussion? The chair will vote to move this out of committee to the floor, but reserves the right to change her vote on the floor. And seeing no further discussion, Mike, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
Yes.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Burdick?
No.
Vice Chair Farrioli?
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. And Senator Przanski, would you be willing to carry this on the floor? So we will ask the good senator to carry it on the floor. And I will close the work session on House Bill 4045A. And I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1594. And Erin, could you please tell us about this bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1594 eliminates affirmative defense exempting concealed handgun licensees from crime applicable to possession of firearm or other instrument used as dangerous weapons while on school grounds, declares emergency is effective upon passage. You do have a dash one amendment. The amendment applies exception for parking lots to community colleges and university and permits school district, community college, or university system to adopt rule or written policy that authorizes person with concealed handgun license to possess firearm on school grounds under the control of the district or the university system. We do have a no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact on the dash one amendment and the original measure.
Okay, thank you very much, Erin. So we are in a work session, and I don't think we have any legislators in the room wishing to testify on this bill. And Senator Burdick, did you have any comment that you wish to make? I think
Madam
the dash one amendment.
I'm ready to move the dash one amendment.
Okay.
I would so move.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
I have
Senator
questions.
Ferrioli?
I have some questions.
And are these questions that could be answered by staff of the committee, or do we need legislative counsel?
Actually, I think we need legislative counsel for a couple of these questions.
Okay.
And I'll try to be brief and to the point, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much for coming forward. And Senator Ferrioli, please go ahead and ask your first question.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Page 2, starting with line 38, the definition of a loaded firearm is removed. Can you give us an idea why that definition is removed?
Yes, Chair Rosenbaum. Senator Ferrioli, members of the committee, my name is Josh Nasby. I'm a deputy in Legislative Council's office. Going to give you a brief history lesson, for lack of a better term. 1969, the Legislative Assembly adopts this statute, prohibits the possession of loaded firearms in public buildings. 10 years later, the Assembly comes back and adds unloaded to the statute. So at that point, we've got the whole universe of firearms, loaded and unloaded. For the last 3 years, we've had a definition of loaded firearm that doesn't do anything. And so this amendment removes it.
Did you have another question, Senator?
Just curious, is it anywhere else in statute where the definition of loaded firearms?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Ferrioli, members of the committee, the definition applies to 166.360 to 166.380, and within that series, it's used twice, once on page 1 and the other time in ORS 166.380, which is repealed by the measure. So if bill becomes law, there will be no uses of the term loaded firearm within this statutory series.
Okay. Another question, Madam Chair?
Yes, please go ahead.
This goes to page 4, lines 30 and 31. There's the use of public buildings and school grounds in their definitions. In both cases, these terms are defined in ORS 166.360, which is repealed, without any reference to any other numbered subsections. So why is there no other reference? Why are we not directed to some other subsection? Or is the intent to repeal 166.360 not connected to the definition of public building and school grounds?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Ferrioli, members of the committee. 166.360 is actually not repealed in the bill. It's 380 that is repealed.
Oh, thank you.
360 currently contains a definition of public building that includes schools. And for the most part, what this bill does is it separates public buildings and school grounds so that we can apply a different rule of law to one versus the other. The definition you're pointing to, the amendments there, retain current law in the way that it incorporates both public buildings and school grounds today, but because we split them apart, we list them both in that amendment you're referring to.
Thank you. And a last question, Madam Chair.
Yes, please go ahead.
On page 3, line 44, which renumbers the existing statute, in the definition of public building, we see the residence of any state elected official who is elected by the state at large. So that, I assume, would mean our 5 statewide elected officials. In Section 1 of the bill, there's a ban on firearms and any other instruments that could be conceivably used as a dangerous weapon from being carried in the public building, which is defined as the residence of a statewide elected official. In the absence of a CHL, would the statewide elected official be subject to prosecution under the bill if he possessed any weapon that could be considered a dangerous weapon by definition of the bill.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Farioli, members of the committee. Two things. So first, I guess the easier of the two is that on page 1, lines 29 through 31, grants the current law's officer or agency, the amendment is to person or entity that controls the public building, the authority to override the general prohibition. I think more significantly, and a little bit of a longer story, is this statute prohibits instruments used as a dangerous weapon. And so broadly speaking, the criminal code defines weapons in two categories. There's deadly weapons, which are designed, I don't have the definition off the top of my head, but they're classified in the way in which they're designed. So knives, guns, those are deadly weapons. Dangerous weapons, on the other hand, can be just about anything. And we actually have appellate cases saying the sidewalk is a dangerous weapon, cowboy boots are dangerous weapons. And so, for whatever reason, this statute is currently couched in terms of instruments used as a dangerous weapon. So mere possession of a knife, for instance, isn't going to implicate the statute.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
You're welcome. Any other questions for Legislative Council? Okay.
Thank you
very much, Josh. Okay, members, we are in a work session, and I believe, Senator Burdick, you started to make a motion.
Yes. Madam Chair, the Dash 1 amendment takes into account that there may be parts of Oregon that wish to include concealed handgun license holders as on their campuses, as it were. And so in respect for that, this amendment would allow them that authority if they wish to have it. So with that, I would move the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill or to Senate Bill 1594.
Senator Burdick has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 1594. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment is adopted. Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 1594 to the Senate floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick has moved Senate Bill 1594 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I believe all the paperwork is in order. Is that correct, Erin?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion?
Discussion.
Madam Chair. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is the problem with the bill is the problem with all such bills, and that is that it only purports to regulate what I consider to be law-abiding citizens. There's no law that we can pass that will prevent a criminal bent on destructive behavior from conducting destructive behavior, as we've seen time and again. So this adds a bill that essentially polarizes folks on philosophical fault lines, but really does nothing to improve the safety of children or teachers. The bill disarms citizens who have demonstrated capacity, capability, proficiency, and responsibility from being available to help in situations where they could prevent the loss of life under the auspices of improving safety. You actually increase the danger to citizens, and it will inevitably result in a patchwork of rules and regulations for concealed handgun licensees, which will precipitate some arrests and prosecutions of ordinary law-abiding citizens. So for those and many reasons, this bill fails the logic test, and I will oppose it.
Thank you. Further discussion? Okay. Seeing none, Mike, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
No.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Farioli?
No.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. And Senator Burdick, would you like to carry this bill on the floor?
I would. Thank you.
Thank you. And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1594. And committee will be in recess just briefly. We're in recess. And the chair will reopen the work session on House Bill 4170. And I see that we've been joined by Representative Holvey, who I know did some work on this bill on the House side. We're having, I think, a little confusion about these two sets of amendments, and in particular the A2 amendment. So if you'd like to come forward, maybe you could shed some light on this for us. Thank you, Representative. Welcome to Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. For the record, Paul Holvey, State Representative, House District 8, and happened to be the Vice Chair of the House Committee on Rules, where I worked with Co-Chair Andy Olson on this particular piece of legislation for well over a year. And just briefly, I will tell you that I think the A3 amendments do clarify a piece in the bill that we put on the record on the floor, that they may that the testing trials and classes may help happen outdoors. We thought it was kind of common sense, but courts don't always do common sense. They look at the language. So I would recommend the A3s. The A2s, you know, I did have some conversations with Jim Welch and some, actually, one of the, somebody who trained dogs to herd sheep. And one of the things that happened, if you noticed in Section 1 of the bill under ORS 203, we eliminated a reference to greyhounds that had been in the statutes for many, many years. One of the problems with that reference is that it caused a lack of clarity for counties going, well, since greyhounds are listed, that means other dogs aren't eligible to be under this statute. And it had to come, it was recommended that we take that out to provide clarity to counties that actually all dogs under animal husbandry were allowed as a farm use. So the problem with the A2s, as I see it, when you're talking about field trials for herding and hunting dogs, I would be amenable to listing field trials under dog training and classes or testing trials, but I would say you really just need to put on the record that field testing trials include field trials, something to that effect. But if you list herding and hunting dogs, then you're faced with a potential, and I'm not an attorney, not a land use attorney, but this is just our conversation over the last year and what's been explained to us in talking with the drafters and the proponents and the counties. So that when you list herding and hunting dogs, all of a sudden the question becomes, why didn't you list agility dogs? Why didn't you list other types of dogs?
Boarding
and now
dogs.
All of a sudden they're out of the picture. Mm-hmm. So it's best to keep it general in this situation. And if you have a concern about it not including something, I would just simply put it on the record that it does, it's our understanding that it does include herding and hunting dogs, I guess. That would be my take on it. I know it's a complex issue and seems kind of simple at one first glance, but trust me, we've been batting this around for a long time. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So, Representative Holvey, if I understand your point, that for the same reason the bill took out a specific reference to greyhounds, because that might narrow the applicability by referring just to herding and hunting dogs, it could be interpreted that we're leaving out other kinds of dogs that might also...
That are not herding and hunting
that
dogs.
That are not in those two categories, like,
so you would have
know,
to
what,
list all types
dogs
of dogs,
something.
And that's why it's left as, in general, just as dog training. So that's my interpretation, and that's what's been explained to us, and that was our conversation over the last year trying to get this right so that the counties had some clarity of what was allowed and what wasn't.
Senator Farioli, did you have a question?
I'll defer to my colleague, Senator Beyer, and then I do have a question, Madam
okay.
Chair.
Okay, Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I was just going to say that I'm familiar with the problem we got into with the greyhounds. I've seen it in other areas when I was dealing with utilities, and it's, the courts refer to it as an enumeration issue, whereas if you specify one, by implication, the court assumes that you meant to exclude everything else. So I would guess that, thinking about it, Representative Holvey is right on target about including these. We probably want as general as we can be, so in terms of doing this. My only other comment is, and I'm going to support this because a lot of people seem to want it, but I think in terms of public policy, we're going way too far, that this is something that counties under their zoning authority should be taking care of, and we should just assume, staying with animal husbandry, that training and raising dogs on farms is an accepted use, period. But apparently we screwed it up in the past, so we would be careful not to do it again.
Thank you. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Holvey, let me thank you for the year that you put into this bill. It's an important bill. It may not seem like an important bill, but it is an important bill. It illustrates that given the opportunity that local bureaucrats are no more insightful than statewide bureaucrats are in applying the law. You may not know that the history of this measure is a great deal longer than just a year. Matter of fact, I was the previous chief sponsor of this legislation, so I want to see that it moves forward. Madam Chairman, if I can have some assistance from my colleagues on the floor in clarifying the record that dog training certainly does include herding and hunting dog training, I would be happy to move the A3 amendments to help the chief sponsors clarify the issue of the indoor-outdoor question and be satisfied with creating an incontrovertible public record on the floor that this does include herding and hunting dogs.
Representative Holvey.
Thank you. I really appreciate your depth of understanding with the history of these issues, too. One of the other things that we did put on the floor that I do want to stress is that under some Oregon State Court of Appeals, they did declare that dogs were part of animal husbandry, too, which is in the Section 203. So while you're clarifying things on the floor, there are some people that think animal husbandry is just livestock as defined by cows and sheep. But in fact, animal husbandry has been declared to be much broader than that. So with that, I appreciate your attention to this. I know this is really...
I think Senator Atkinson is indicating some canine support for this bill.
It really is. It really is important to a lot of people. You know, we have, I mean, this came forward because counties didn't have clarity on whether they could allow these dogs on high-volume farmlands. I think we sort of straightened that out in this bill as well.
Ridiculous.
And, you know, just some things that seemed a little bit like they should be common sense, but our statutes are, you know, very old and are pieced together over years and years with lots of different input and don't always end up with the solutions that we want.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your
thank you. Thank
Madam
you very
Chair,
much.
I have two other questions for Representative Holvey.
Oh, two other questions.
I talked too much.
The first is, have you formed an opinion on which should be the state dog?
Well, quite frankly, my dog won the legislative dog of the year last year, and it's a Yorkshire Terrier.
Not a sporting breed.
No.
It catches mice.
Okay, and do you have another question, Senator?
My other question, Madam Chair, is for you, Madam Chair.
Ah.
We've done dogs and guns. Can we do pickup trucks today, too? And then we'll have covered everything.
I don't see that before us, but I think nothing is over until sine die. So okay. Hope springs eternal. Okay, thank you very much, Representative Holvey, for your clarification.
Madam Chair, if we do move the A3, then the challenge is to get the House to concur. So let that be clear to the proponents.
Confident that apparently Representative Holvey heard your point. So, okay, so I think with that clarification and helpful suggestions about how we talk about this on the floor, we're ready to proceed. We are in a work session.
Madam Chair, I would move the Dash A3 amendments to House Bill 4170.
Thank you, Senator Farioli has moved the Dash A3 amendments to House Bill 4170A. Is there any discussion on the amendment?
Only that the amendment is offered as a friendly amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any objection to the amendment? Amendment is adopted. And Senator Farioli, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I would move the House Bill 4170 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 4170A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection?
I'm conflicted so desperately on this.
Senator Atkinson.
I have Stella and Lola on the payroll at my house. They're both, I field trialed Stella. Lola, I don't know, but Madam, if you put vet bills plus dog food divided by ducks retrieved, it's about $90 a bird. I think, therefore, I have a financial interest and I'll declare a potential conflict.
Okay. Senator Atkinson, your potential conflict is noted for the record, as well as your very handsome dog's
That's
interest
Lola.
In this bill.
Yeah.
So,
Madam Chairman, I regret only one thing, and that is that all of the committee members cannot hear Senator Atkinson calling his dog across the field. It sounds like the third act of a streetcar named Desire.
Okay, well, further, seeing no further discussion, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. And do we have a volunteer carry this bill?
Madam Chair, I think Senator Farioli should carry this so that he can clarify the points that he wants to.
Madam Chair, and that my staff will not allow me to carry any dog bills on the Senate floor, so I would defer that honor to another member of the Senate committee.
Is there another volunteer?
Sure.
Senator Atkinson.
I'd be delighted.
Perhaps we'll be able to hear your sound effects and have visual aids.
I've got a Roy Garnier special orange dog whistle around my rearview mirror and my truck downstairs. I'll bring it for
there,
you.
I knew we'd get the trucks, Madam Chair.
We will look forward to that. And I'll close the work session. Thank you very much to the members of the public who worked on this bill. I'll close the work session on House Bill 4170. And members, I think that completes our work for today. And at the moment, we do not have any other bills in our possession that we are expecting. So stay tuned, but right now.
Expect it or not, I'm here they come.
So with nothing further to come before us, we are adjourned.
I had a good time with that.